It's the World of Bonds. It's Sunday, the 19th of November, 2023. This is for professional investors only, never ever investment advice. I hope you've had a better weekend than Elon Musk. Not only did his shiny new spaceship explode shortly after takeoff, but he also had Apple, IBM, Disney, Warner Brothers, and many others announced that they wouldn't be advertising on the ailing Twitter platform, now called X, of course. The reason given is that they just don't want their adverts to appear next to racist and anti-Semitic content that's on there. As I've mentioned before, financial Twitter, as it used to be, FinTwit, which was the nice corner of Twitter, to be honest, it's already decamped to the platform called Blue Sky. Now, if you want to go there too, and if you need an invite code, and you're nice, importantly, go on to X or Twitter and find Tony Yates on there, a famous economist. Ask him for a code and he'll get you in the lifeboat. Tell him Jim sent you. So hopefully see a few more of you on Blue Sky. Anyway, about last week, we saw a significant rally in government bonds, perhaps a turning point in government bonds last week. It could be the big one. It could be the change that we in bond world have been waiting for a very long time. The trigger for it, although, as you know, we've already been seeing some positive signs from bond markets really ever since the US Treasury announced that its quarterly refunding was going to be marginally less than people had feared. So it felt like the market was hoping for, you know, kind of wanting an excuse to rally. But the fundamentals last week really enforced or reinforced that view that it was time for bond yields to fall. And the trigger was that US inflation number for October. So there was no month-on-month increase in the headline rate of inflation. So October was flat. Now, back in September, we'd seen a 0.4% monthly increase in CPI. So a big improvement there. And in October, we did still see core inflation up a tinsy bit at 0.2%. But again, the trend on the year-on-year basis is pointing down in both cases of headline and core. So year-on-year, headline is at 3.2%, so still above the Fed's 2%-ish target. Core is at 4%. So, you know, still not no cause for comfort, but both trending in the right direction very decisively now. So if we look at WIRP, WIRP on Bloomberg, we see that there are no rate hikes priced into money markets for the Fed at all. Au contraire, we have 4 25 basis point rate cuts expected in 2024. Bond markets love this, of course, as did risk assets. So if you look at 10-year US Treasuries, they were down about 15 basis points on the week. Corporate bond returns were even higher. So even as people kind of start thinking, well, actually, this might not be very good economic news. It could be weakening economy, recession on the horizon, etc. Corporate bond spreads tightened in. So investment grade US dollar credit was 7 basis points tighter at about 130 basis points over US treasuries. And that's the tights of the year there for investment grade credit. And equities also saw a leap higher too. So we're trading off the expectation that the risk-free rate is falling, which will increase demand for bonds, which will increase the demand for corporate bonds, and equities are rallying because that's what they do. Bad news is good news for equity markets, as it has been for some while though now. Your multiple that you're trading off your equities is going to be improved by a fall in the risk-free long-term government bond yield, and US 30-year bonds having been at 5.1% are now at below 4.6%. So the S&P 500 isn't quite back at its end July highs, but it is 10% up from the end of October. The dollar is getting whacked against everything right now. DXY, Dixie, the dollar trade weighted index, is down about 3% from the start of November. Again, that's on the back of those Fed expectations. Here in the UK, it's been a similar story. Sunak got a small break from the polling data, which pretty unanimously shows that Conservatives are polling about 18 to 20% behind Labour in the opinion polls for the next general election, which probably happens sometime in 2024. But he did have a kind of mission accomplished moment. One of his pledges, which was, of course, the easiest pledge to meet, was that he would halve UK inflation from its high. And in the last month, UK CPI has fallen down from over 6 to 4.6% year on year. But that is lower than almost anyone expected in terms of both the market, the Bank of England and elsewhere. So it does, and it does allow the Prime Minister to claim that he'd halved inflation from the peak. Although we all coughed politely and muttered the words base effects. Anyway, the UK still has the highest CPI in the G7, and the price level itself is up 21% since the start of 2021. The not so good news last week for Sunak came with the retail sales data here in the UK, which showed a 2.7% year-on-year fall in shopping volumes. Optimists will point to the unusual weather we had in October. It was too wet to go out. We had horrendous rain all the time. Or it was too warm to buy wintry clothes. So you can take your pick. But it could mean that the UK is either in or about to go into a recession. Remember, we have been flatlining all year but have avoided recession so far. Those GDP quarterly numbers have been above zero but not very far above zero, or at zero. So we could get a revision downwards, and it looks as if the final quarter of the year could be quite weak. But UK rate hikes are now off the table for bond markets, and gilts are outperforming. So as I said, those 30-year gilts are down at 4.5%, 10-year gilts at 4.1%. So big rallies in the gilt market, and at least three cuts of 25 basis points priced in for the end of next year, 2024, from the Bank of England. Finally, I recommend you go to the FT and read an article by Matt King. It came out at the end of last week. He was formerly of Citibank, their big bond strategist there. And in this article, he talks about how high deficits are not associated with higher bond yields, as you might expect. You might think that when governments borrow more, that higher supply of bonds causes bond yields to go up. But the opposite actually happens a lot of the time. And this accords with what I've been saying on the podcast for Yonks, and that most bond market people have kind of known. And this is that when you see governments borrowing more, when do they do that? Well, it's obviously at a time when growth is weak in typical environments. So when unemployment goes up, governments need to borrow more to pay unemployment benefit, you know, and things like that. So government spending goes up when the economy is weak. Their tax receipts go down when the economy is weak, so they borrow more. And what happens when the economy is weak? Well, generally inflation falls, the central bank cuts interest rates, and bonds rally. So, you know, it's not surprising that generally when governments borrow more, bonds do well, rather than the kind of meme that everyone's worrying about the scale of government borrowing causing bond yields to rise dramatically. I don't think we're out of the woods, though. I think things are a bit different this time. And my caveat would be that that may have been true historically, but we have kind of crossed the Rubicon in terms of the scale of government borrowing. Remember Reinhardt and Rogoff, that flawed but influential book, dangerous book that caused a lot of unnecessary austerity, but nevertheless 100% debt to GDP ratios, which is where we are now in most of the developed markets at least, is a level that causes people to reflect. Also, we've got QT rather than QE, which causes another supply and demand change in that relationship about deficits and government bond borrowing. So on top of that borrowing, you've got no QE and you do have QT. But the thing I think that would worry you a little bit is that this year, for instance, you normally expect higher deficits, and the deficit in 2022 in the United States was something like 3.8% of GDP. This year it's 5.7% of GDP, not double, but a significant increase in the deficit. Trillions of US dollars people are talking about for the deficit, but that has come at a time of very, very high growth. So US real GDP is knocking on the door of 5%. And so you've got this environment where governments are borrowing more, not because growth is weak, but because of tax cuts and things like that. The old legacy George W. Bush tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, and so forth. And on top of that, some fiscal stimulus for Inflation Reduction Act, for instance. So this isn't coming at a time when growth has been weak. So when growth does become weak, that deficit is going to go up even more than it is now. So I do agree with Matt King's point. I think it's been true historically, but I think things are a little bit different this time, which if you're savvy, you'll know that that is kind of the title of that Reinhardt and Rogoff book. Anyway, have good weeks. I'll catch up with you later. I just did an early announcement that Friday next week is Wear Your Band T-Shirt to Work Day. So I'll be hoping that you'll all be thinking about which band T-shirt you'll be rocking to your office or WFH setup next Friday. I'll speak to you before then. Bye.